It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Yes, this is an idea show, is it not? Is it not?
What voice is that?
This is my voice. This is my start the show.
Radio voice.
It's one of the.
Listen,
we have to make up our own.
That's terrifying.
Okay, time out. We have to make up our own special effects on this show. It's a very low budget that we have here. Okay, so if I have to do my own voice work, then that's what has to happen. Oh, anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host.
That's your making hay.
Philip Sassano.
Boy, I didn't know what that meant. Philip took a phone call
When do I use the voice, Kai?
Oh, you use that voice a lot, I feel like. Radio mostly, but then we'll be talking about things in the office and he'll just all of a sudden launch into his radio voice. So.
I do. In fact, I have voices with different team members. Like Haley will sometimes, like, she'll make me say, like, hey, say it in Dumbledore's voice. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, Haley, can you please grab for me the CAD file?
This is what you have to deal with all day?
Like, yes. So, and then we'll like, then
it's like free entertainment.
It makes
network.
It fun. Okay. It just makes it, I mean, listen, if nothing else, we want to make the process
right
fun.
Right.
Design should be fun.
You know, you said, going back to making hay.
Yes.
I never heard that phrase in my life. I had to look it up while you were on the phone.
Okay,
don't spill on your white,
no,
your cream.
I'm sorry. Here's the deal. This is when they're like, you're old, you're showing. Like, you know, it's like, a Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
How old
like,
are
it's
you? Like, can I ask your age?
I'm 77. No, I'm 55.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
I know. Look, I feel like I just crawled out of the Shire. You know what I mean? My little diminutive self.
Okay.
Coming out like this creative little man. Anyway.
My first time doing the show with Kylie.
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Okay. So for those of you, so Kylie's joining us today. Kylie, thanks again for joining us. Now, it's very official because we have Mike. Mm-hmm. It makes us wear headphones when we do the radio show because it makes us feel like pros.
Every time he's got to bring it up.
I know. I'm excited. This is my first time
wearing
headphones.
Okay. But technically, isn't it kind of better?
It is. I like it.
I think when Nancy's back, we should.
You're supposed to wear these all the time.
Oh, I mean,
this is
how
it's supposed to go.
Oh,
we wear them every week.
Yeah, we do.
Right.
We love.
Right.
We have our own.
Right.
In our own cases.
We just brought the wrong car today.
Anyway, it's May. It's May.
Yes.
So you were talking before we got on the air, and today's show, listen, is going to be. We've got some really exciting news to share with everybody on today's show, but, you know, since it is technically spring, right, the Midwest has decided that it's actually going to be spring.
It's waking up.
It's waking up, right, which is fantastic. Are your honeydew list, your chores, your...
My man chores?
Your man chores. Are those man chores piling up on you?
Dude, let me tell you something, all right? So from the time I get up, which is like... 5 a.m., 6 a.m. My wife's a nurse. She gets up early.
Okay.
I stay up.
Okay.
So I'll get on the treadmill, then I'll eat.
Oh, so when she gets up, you're like, go time.
I stay up.
We're going.
Okay. And I'm not a rest guy. I don't sit and rest. I can't just sit and watch Netflix. I have to do something all the time. So whether it be I do the laundry, I vacuum the floors, I shampoo the carpets, I clean the kitchen, I cleaned all the bathrooms, did all the floors.
Like, you could have the 6 a.m. slot at my house.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
this is
how I fill my time, and it doesn't bother me. She's like,
do you want a job? If this radio thing doesn't work out, you can just join my lifestyle team.
Sure,
please.
Why not? But yeah, no, that's my man chores. So
are they piling up though this time of year?
No.
They're not?
I get them all done. I do everything before work. That's why I get in when I do, because I got all my stuff I got to do.
Do you have a whole list of exterior stuff?
Like what?
I don't know, like cleaning a patio or like setting out patio furniture.
Mowed the lawn. Yeah.
Okay. Like a push mower, riding mower?
Yeah, push mower.
Push mower. So it's not
do
like
I look
a
like a riding mower kind of guy?
Listen, do I?
No.
Okay.
I can't see you mowing a lawn.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. No, it's one of my favorite things.
Do you have a push mower for your whole lawn?
No, I have a riding mower, but I don't look like a riding mower guy.
You,
You know what I'm saying?
Do you wear do you wear the headphones?
Well, it's not impressive. It's just a cub cadet. It's not like it's. Oh, okay. But it's only a 48 inch.
I was trying to see whether I needed to picture you on like a zero turn or like if you had a little. No, you know
the zero turns
like...
I do like. I do like the one that I've had, but the one that I had when we bought the house was a Yazoo, which I don't even know if they make this brand anymore. But you could make the dual blades. It was a 60 inch Modec. It was massive, right? Like I think. When we bought the house, the sellers were like, hey, you know, the mower comes with the house because nobody wanted this thing. But it was like a death machine. Like literally, it was like something on a Mad Max. It was red and you could lift the Modec. Like you could, it articulated upwards. So the blade, you could chase someone with blades. Like it was in like a Demolition Derby Mad Max kind of vibe.
Wow.
And you used that to cut down like major weeds. And we used that Yazoo lawnmower to literally cut paths through our mazes in the prairie. And it would cut anything in its way. I mean, it was a violent machine for sure. And I, to this day, I joke about like the fact that my son was like 12 and he was like riding in this. he would cut the grass and that's what we had to cut the grass. And that's what he used. So
I picture him wearing the big headphones with like the antenna on top. Kind of like how you would look now. I picture you in the riding mower, making your little voice.
Here's what I learned. I learned that it is one of the most peaceful resets.
Yes.
Is just, you know, and it's so unbelievably, and you know this from
me. I like it for the exercise, for the steps.
You did now, not so much on a riding mower, but I'm just letting you know, like in this instance, it was more just about like peace of mind. It was absolutely about being outside and the productivity. You know how you feel when you cut it? You feel great. You know, like you feel productive.
Sit there, you admire it.
Yeah, you smell it.
Right.
You know, you like take it all in. Yep. It's great.
I got to learn on a zero turn. So
okay, well that's pretty fancy.
Yeah.
Okay,
who mows your lawn?
As a kid,
so we have an apartment right now. Okay. So as a kid,
you were all about speed though with the zero turn.
Oh,
efficiency.
Yes.
You were all about efficiency, right?
That was my favorite thing because I grew up on 10 acres, and so like our whole backyard was 5 acres of just grass. And so Dad would cut all the things with like the trees, and he actually had those earphones with the antenna sticking out of them.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. You're talking about.
So it was basically like an AM/FM radio on your head.
And they were bright yellow. So I'm just picturing that in my mind right now. I think he probably still does that.
Fantastic.
I would have the entire back, like 5 acres of just grass and hills to just speed through and mow. And
wow. If you know someone who has one, ask them if you can do it sometime.
Yeah.
It is super peaceful. It's productive. You feel like you've accomplished something, and you also feel like you've relaxed at the same time.
I don't want to do it.
Julie loves it. My wife loves it.
I don't want to do it.
Ever?
I'm going to stick old school.
You're going to stick with the push mower.
Yeah.
That's hard to do on 7 acres, though. Of our 10 acres, we cut 7.
I hate mowing the lawn.
What?
My wife loves it. I hate it. I don't know why. I do it so she doesn't have to, but I hate it.
Is yours gas or electric?
Gas.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate it.
You just hate it.
Yeah,
I can't bring myself.
That's one
to
of
say
the things that I don't like, is mowing the lawn. Anything else, I like.
I do like it. Once we get a lawn, I know Joey's gonna want to cut it, so I won't have any chances there because he loves.
Well, then, good for you then, right?
Yeah. The problem is like in my sphere, I totally outgrew my ability to maintain my own property.
Well, yeah.
Because I just kept beautifying new canvases around the entire home. And so when you do that, you realize like, okay, so when you start doing that, you're like, oh, I'll make a bed here or I'll carve out something here or I'll do something decorative here. So the lawn for me became like one big canvas in the spring. And Julie and I would both love, you know, we loved doing it. And it was one of the things that we still do together. Like when we plant, we buy them. She tells me where she wants them, and I just play landscape guy, and I dig them up and I move them and I cut everything back. But I kept doing that in multiple places, and then you turn around and you're like, oh my God, it needs to be maintained.
Now I gotta take care of it.
Right. That's when I was like, nope. I got myself a team. Right. They're working on it this weekend as we speak.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your kids for a second.
That, you know, they were onto that super early. Like, you could get people.
I didn't wind That's up not to that us. Until I was like 16.
No, we make them do other things. But
I didn't mow a lawn until I was in my late 30s.
You're because, kidding
because
me.
We had really? Growing up. We had people.
Did you grow up on a boat?
No, but we had people come and do our lawn.
Yeah.
Landscapers. So I didn't know how to use a lawnmower until I was
No, there's nothing. There's nothing better than, because, like, listen, there's lots of needs. There's lots of needs. It's from everything from like filling in the pavers to like filling in, you know, some of the potholes on the gravel drive that we have that are closer to the front of the road. Then there's like the trimming of like one of my favorite things that I did a couple.
I like that. I like trimming.
A couple years ago was like
with those like things where you can do the bushes,
right? The hedge trimmers.
Yeah.
But then there's the rotating blade where you edge the beds, like where you carve them out so that they're crisp and clean, right? So they don't look like, you know, ear hair growing into your ear. Like you have to you know what I'm saying? Like you just have to, cut them clean, right? Like there's nothing.
That's
better.
Such a bad picture.
I know, but it's so true. Perfect. It really bothers me when it looks like ear hair, like on a person that's like not manicured. And you just made that face.
Yeah.
I think everyone listening is making that face.
Or the wayward nose hair. When I see someone
The wayward nose here. That's a really good one.
Don't you see yourself before you leave the house?
Do you not look in a mirror?
One of my favorite things was when I took my evergreens and I cut them up about 2 feet to 30 inches.
Ooh, yes.
And I cut them up because, you know, those branches on the lowest level kind of die and they start to look a little gangly. Well, I cut them up and then I edged the beds and then we mulch underneath there. Well, you know, you do that to 15, 16 evergreens. All of a sudden, like, you're like Mr. Wheelbarrow Man. And you blow like 3 weekends just doing your landscaping. And it's like, there's got to be a more efficient way to do that. And it's called money. So you just pay for it. And someone can do it way better, way faster, more efficiently than I can. And I love it because I do feel like I can, you know, shape and move canvases on the outside. Because listen, we're spring.
Mm-hmm.
In the Midwest, we sort of live for the curtain to be lifted. And in the Geneva Lakes area, everybody starts to get really excited about the Memorial Day, quote unquote, soft opening of summer.
It's ramping up.
It's ramping up, and you're starting to feel and see and hear and smell the activity. So that's why I was wondering about your man chores, whether they were piling up outside. I'm just hearing you just love to get them done and not think about them.
Nothing.
Whereas I'm sitting there artistically, like with my coffee, thinking about the next bed I can create.
You know what it is for me? I want my wife to come home from work and not have to do anything at all. I
God
want her
bless
to come
you.
Home
That's
with a nice,
smart,
clean, organized house. That's just how I am.
Everyone listening is, you know, who's a woman is doing is nodding her head
like, in agreement. Like,
Well, listen, on today's show we have some exciting news that we want to share because we are fully now ingrained in our new service model, which just got launched actually this past week, sort of in its totality and in its most interesting form. And we want to talk about that because it does go hand in hand with the purpose of this show, which is not just to give you advice and counsel, ideas and information and inspiration about designing great interiors and exteriors, but also about designing a great life. And that's really the purpose of the show. It's sort of the way our company has morphed.
Mm-hmm.
We've morphed into that. And we're sort of like, Mike, to sort of give you an analogy, we're sort of like the cocoons kind of breaking away.
Yeah.
And we're no longer in the larva stage of building this model. The model is built. It is ready to go, and we're ready to fly.
Yes.
And I think throughout the course of today's show, I want to talk about that. So stay with us. We're going to talk all things spring and the Design Coach. Stay with us. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking, well, basically all things spring and all things design at the Design Coach. Okay, so, Kylie, do I do a lot of voices at work?
You do.
Do I?
Yes. Not in a bad way.
But I know that I weave them into just general conversation.
Yeah. Or it'll be like when we're joking around about something and
and I'll
want to
punctuate it.
With a heart. And you'll be like, with a heart in one of your voices. I'm not there yet, but
you're getting close though. You were talking about your filter. Your filter's now at a what?
I said a 2.
I know, I have a way I break people down.
This is a fun work environment.
I think people down.
Working with you would be enjoyable all day.
Listen, what we do sometimes is really difficult work because we're trying to satisfy what oftentimes in design is it can be a moving target.
Yep.
It can be one that's time sensitive. It can be one that not just moving target, but all of a sudden vanish on you. It sometimes can be creative whack-a-mole where things are popping up and you're just trying to, you know, hit the thing that popped up.
And from the outside, I feel like people are always like, oh my gosh, you're a designer. Your job is so amazing. You just get to sit in fabrics all day.
Yeah. No.
I'm sure it's the same with radio. They're like, oh, all you do is like sit and talk.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you don't know until you're in on your in the inside of it. So I feel like in our office, there's a lot of joking around about it because
but
it's
talk
a
about,
lot of serious stuff that we're dealing with.
So I think
so
we use that.
Keep it light.
Yeah, we keep it light to keep it fun, or else you'll just you can get overwhelmed very quickly.
Die in the fabrics.
Well, it's, no, but it's
where's Brittany? She's somewhere in the Damask. We can't find her.
Okay, the voice. What voice is that?
Yes.
What was that?
It's just another one. It's just another one.
Yeah, we don't have names for all.
Okay,
of them.
You guys are making it sound like I have a condition.
Oh my gosh,
you might. You might. By the end of segment four, we will have diagnosed you with some sort of something.
Sonny, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Anyway, welcome
and
back,
everyone.
I think
everyone. Zoe has inherited that from
you,
too.
Oh, no. Zoe's like a master at it.
Yes.
My youngest daughter is definitely cut from the same self-entertainment cloth. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody cracks each other up more than us about us, right? Like, we think we're, like, hilarious. So anyway,
as long as you think you're hilarious, who cares? What
dude, there's
else
no
thinks,
other way you have.
Right?
You got to go through life thinking
right.
Like you got to have a positive affirmation about who you are and what you're doing. And you also, you know, you can take I don't know. Sometimes you just can't take things too seriously, but you should. You know what I mean? Like keeping it light in the office is, I think, something that I think it's important for us. Also, the we do a lot of unvarnished conversation. Right? So the filter is actually, from a collaborative perspective, not helpful.
No. And honestly, it's been great the last couple of weeks because I'm just going to be real with everybody. I'm like, this might not be the best word to use it, but it's the only word that's coming to mind.
Yeah, we have a term like use your messed up words. Like, just say it. Like, it's okay. Like, you're in a safe space. Just say it messy. And
you know,
then we'll figure out how to clean it up together.
Blaming it on, like, pregnancy brain, but it might just be work, you know?
Do you have a baby?
Not yet, but we're expecting.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
As announced on what? A couple shows ago?
Yeah. Was that last week or was it 2 weeks? Two weeks ago.
When is your due date?
November 12th.
Nice. First baby at the design coach.
First baby at the design coach. Wow.
Yeah. That wasn't mine. Right? So first.
That's awesome.
First,
great news.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's great. We're excited for you.
But yeah, I was blaming my like lack of filter on that, but it could just be like,
But I think that's just, you know, what we've been doing at the Design Coach, because this is a good segue.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been trying to do for the better part of, Kai, just correct me if I'm wrong, maybe like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Has been really trying to craft a unique service model that just isn't out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a vision that I had, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago about the fact that I would look at our clients' projects and I was genuinely emotionally deflated when the projects ended. You know, you get to a point where you design something, you know, you design something for someone, you collaborate with someone.
Well, you're putting everything into
you get
it,
to know
right?
a family. Yeah. I mean, for us, business
for years.
Yeah.
Too. You're like pouring into
yeah, for
sure.
us,
family.
Business is like intensely personal. So like we get to know these families and we get to know the clients. And then the final drapery pin would go in and the final accessory might get placed. And then until they had another design need, you know, or like a makeover, you know, the relationship just sort of like, you know, just faded a little bit, right? It didn't go away, but it faded. And to me, you know, a lot of designers do that and then move to the next project, which is fine.
I was going
to
ask that. Do you guys take a break after you're done with a project or you just go from one to the other to the other? He's laughing. So
let's laugh together.
Yes.
No. There's no
well,
rest.
That's
for
why
the
you're emotionally drained, right? Because you go from one to the next to
well,
the next.
No,
we don't really work in a linear fashion like that anymore. We have multiple projects going on at a time.
We talked
now,
about that once.
So.
Okay, so you have ongoing things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more organic. We're like, you know, a percentage of your time might get taken up with one or two clients, and then that'll ebb and flow. But everybody's always in the. They're always in the bubble. Does that make sense? But they just occupy a different percentage of the space within it.
They can hay.
And so, And so what we're trying to do is with this new model, just throwing out analogies, just throwing out old man analogies.
Right.
But with this new model, we really are in a space where it's innovative for the industry, but instinctive to us.
Yes.
Like it's just kind of what we do and it's all born of this spirit of we didn't want the relationships with the clients to end at the decoration. that we felt as though we were building these beautiful, amazing interiors and homes and properties. Yeah. Now it's properties nationwide. And then we felt like there was more we could give. Mm-hmm. We could give the how to help you leverage it.
Yeah.
How to help you use it. How to help you, you know, how to help you throw an ultimate party. How to help you leverage, you know, right now we call it like in the Geneva Lakes area here, we call it, how do we help you leverage your property porch to pier? Like, it's not just about the inside of the house.
Cool.
It's,
I like that.
It's about the entire mm-hmm. property. In Florida, yeah. we call it from gulf to gate, right? Like, and the properties, you know, that we're fortunate enough to work on, you know, have a complexion to them that makes them like just special sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. And that sanctuary doesn't end at the front door or back door or porch. It's the entire way the property looks and feels. So like, yeah. you know, for us, this time of year in the Midwest, as the homes on Geneva Lake begin to sort of, you know, awaken
mm-hmm.
from their winter slumber, it gets really exciting, but yes. also really busy for us.
Yes.
And we've been fortunate enough to work in other parts of the country on some other projects that have, you know, you never quite know what wardrobe to pack because mm-hmm. you're, you know, like I think I have clothes in multiple locations.
You do. We were in Florida at
I disclosed that to the clients. I'm like, listen, I'm going to leave some stuff here.
You did.
Because I'm going to come back.
I just didn't know about it. And I was like, wait, I think these are Phillips clothes up in this like closet in the guest house.
Like Tommy Bahama shirts and cargo shorts.
Well, because yeah. I didn't need it. I was going to get packed away Sandals. Here. Yeah, I know. But anyway. The service model that we've been working on was finally unveiled last week through At the Lake magazine. They had a sort of a digital write up that we released to sort of launch it, and then we launched it on our website.
Yes.
And the service offering that I'm referring to has a service cycle that in our minds makes our relationships with our clients perpetual. That used to be something that we would rely on contracting to do, like we would do contracting work. To sort of add to our, it was sort of our value add to clients. And we decided that really wasn't really what we wanted to do, was be contractors in this. What we mm-hmm. really wanted to be was lifestyle experts and lifestyle coaches. And in that, you know, what does that really mean to be a lifestyle coach? And so it starts with the design and it starts mm-hmm. with the fulfillment of delivering what you, you know, the kind of atmosphere and the inspiring look of the interiors in the home and the functionality to use it.
Yeah.
But then it morphs into something I think much more substantial, which yeah. is how do we help you use it? I mean, you're knee deep in that every day, and that's yeah. kind of where Kylie lives.
Yep.
Right? And what does it mean to sort of support the lifestyle that you've created? It means everything from maintenance. Mm-hmm. You got to maintain what you have created.
Well, yeah, you can't create something and then just leave it.
But a lot of people do. A lot of people will build their dream home, and even here in the Geneva Lakes area, and then they won't really upkeep the maintenance, and then they end up with a problem because, you know, when the builder moved on to the next build, mm-hmm. there maybe wasn't a maintenance program, right, that they had attached to the new build. Like,
and
that
especially if it's your second home, you're not there all the time. You're mm-hmm. there for a season maybe, but then it sits for the other three seasons.
And winter is not kind nope. to lake homes, you know. So we found ourselves in this position of saying, well, we don't want the relationship to end. No one knows the homes better than we know the homes.
Yeah.
And how do we help onboard our clients from a lifestyle perspective into these amazing structures and environments mm-hmm. and properties that we've helped them build?
Yeah.
And so we became kind of their like unofficial ambassador
mm-hmm.
to then onboarding them into the lifestyle. And that just really has that led to a summer last summer
yes.
of us doing some things for clients we hadn't ever done before.
Yeah.
A 25th anniversary party mm-hmm. for a dear couple who was our wonderful clients of ours.
Yeah.
We got to help them throw that.
Mm-hmm.
Kylie, you were a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
A 21st birthday party, actually two summers ago,
yep.
a 21st birthday party on the grounds, which was,
if you go to our Instagram, it was really cool.
Yeah, so it's about how does our team extend our ability to plug in creatively mm-hmm. into the clients' lives to share experiences and also partners that will enhance their in-home and out-of-home experience
mm-hmm.
In a way that connects them to us so that they understand that we're not only in it with them from a decorative and a design perspective, but we want to help them live more creative lives on it and in it.
Yeah.
And then we also want to be there for you and for our clients to maintain that.
And I think, honestly, our clients get so used to, I love the word coach, and I love that it's in our name too, because we're not like, oh, here's what we do, you can like it or you cannot like it. We coach our clients to help them find the design that they like, right? And then they get so used to having that coach, even about life things. Like,
yeah,
the amount of calls that he gets in a day, even just about life questions from our clients, is amazing.
Really?
And so then they're done with their build, and then I feel like they're left kind of struggling too.
But they're also coaching me. I think what's fascinating is, like, I don't just have clients. I have, like, advocates. Like, they're advocates for us. And I didn't really understand what that meant until we were building this service model.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like I'm hyper respectful and mindful of it. Because it's not just about designing for projects. It's about designing for people.
Yes.
And when we come back from the break, the mindset that we have now is we want dream homes reimagined, and we want your legacy defined. That's like where we live now, Mike, right? Redefining what a dream home means to you and redefining how you actually build your legacy through design. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I think what's interesting about this, it's like dead air is never good, Philip. Dead air is never good. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. But you asked me off air.
Yes.
We were talking before break about okay, you know, exactly, you know, what types of conversations we're having with clients that transcend and go beyond design.
Well, and I know he has them every single day.
I'm thinking maybe what do they call you up and say, Philip, I got a brown suit I'm wearing to a party. What tie do I wear?
I have been asked.
What color shoes?
Okay, so yeah. I have been asked everything from fashion to food to obviously cocktails. You know that's the mixology questions. I get those quite a bit. I get we do get wine and food pairings.
Mm-hmm.
We get restaurant recommendations. We get gifts.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Should I
get so and so?
Yeah.
For
what
this?
Should I get?
That's
like,
very. It's very telling that they reach out to you to ask you all of these things, because that says a lot about the relationships you're building with all of your clients.
It goes beyond design.
You know what I mean?
And this new model, which is, again, this perpetual cycle of design to lifestyle support to maintenance and then back again, actually plays very authentically up here in the Geneva Lakes area, because the houses do need to be maintained and there is a seasonal setup that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so there isn't an ebb and a flow to the use of these homes. That service plays really well up here. Clients are really beginning to find out how valuable that is. But this mindset, Mike, goes back way more than a decade for me. When you asked me, Kylie, what was one of the craziest requests I've ever gotten, we were working on a home, and this was in Elmhurst, Illinois, and I had a client whose flight was late from coming back in from out of town. And so I was asked to go into their freezer and then thaw out the ham for the Easter dinner.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
And at the time, this was not part of, I didn't have a lifestyle
You're
team.
The designer.
I did not have a lifestyle team. I could not just call
He's
you.
He's paging through the
I
contract.
Not,
like, did I
Because Kylie, now
this?
I could call you and be like, Kylie, do me a favor. Take the pork chops out.
I have
we
done
gotta
that.
We got to fire them up. You know, I know you
Last
have.
Last summer,
like,
yeah.
Did you do it?
Well, of course I did it, because the client was like, Philip, you got to do me a favor. Like, can you help us out? And of course my answer was always what, Mike?
Yes,
because they're more than clients, they're friends, and in many cases they're family too on a bigger scale, right? Like when I say that I feel like I have advocates, I have advocates, but we also want to be advocates for them. And not just with design, and I think sometimes, you know, in our industry, and my team has heard me talk about this at great length, it oftentimes is a very hollow, trend heavy, inauthentic, you know, like not really substantive kind of conversation in design. It can be about what's cool and what's in style versus like maybe the things that really matter. And what I love about the homes that I think we work on with our clients is they're all designed to share.
Yes.
To share with family, to share with friends. And so what does that mean then? You know, so does the design of our home, or does the design of the homes we do stop at the aesthetic? Does it just stop at the decoration? Or does it involve designing, helping them design a life with a lifestyle support team? So the goal was, okay, we can do design, but what does lifestyle support really mean? Mm-hmm. And so over the past 8 months, Kylie, who was like, I likened her to like, I don't know, Neil Armstrong, because it was like,
wow,
like
okay.
we put her in a, we put her in a rocket.
We and put her in a luck
we,
and
put,
sent
her, we
me off.
Put her in a rocket in a service
it.
Rocket.
Launch.
No, we launched it, and then she was going to a destination where we knew she was going to land, but nobody had ever really done this before.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call you Neil from now on.
Nobody
good.
Nobody
good.
Had ever done what you did. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the history of the planet. Obviously, butlers,
yes.
staffs, but you were all of those things.
Uh huh.
In basically beta, in testing,
yes.
last summer, mm-hmm. to figure out, okay, what does this service model of lifestyle support really look like? And how does it, one, play hand in hand with design? Because mm-hmm. it does. Mm-hmm. If you don't think if I produce and we create a wonderful dining room that we don't want to have a hand in the dishware, the plates, the serving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not just about the furniture. And for a lot of designers, It there's a relationship that ends there at the installation or the furniture delivery.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that it went far beyond that, but we didn't really know maybe what that looked like for us. And so you came in as the pioneer mm-hmm. of that service to help us craft that. And your valuable feedback and your unbelievable and incredible effort gave us kind of what we needed to figure out. What does the lifestyle support piece look like?
Yeah.
And I really feel like this is the summer we've perfected it.
Absolutely.
And we also have the right team in support of you. Yes. Whereas before it was just like you.
Just me.
It's like the movie The Martian, right? It's like you're just, you know.
Remember all this when performance appraisal uh-huh. time
yeah.
comes.
Oh, yeah. No, June 15th. It's okay. coming.
Oh, wow. I have a date
now. Wow, that's
great.
Next month.
Anyway, I just wanted to preface that by saying, what was in me from a service perspective was always it was always there and trying mm-hmm. to be expressed in earlier formats of my companies. But until the design coach really became a team of coaches, it was just me. And as talented as I think I am and as energetic as I think I am, I have a limited bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's hard to be all things all the time everywhere, and you can't scale with just you. So a lot of entrepreneurs can't ever break from the fact that, you know, on some things they might not be the best coach. And what I realized was, no, let me surround myself with a bunch of people who I knew could be and can become and are great coaches, and then also try to plug them into an alignment of a service model. And that's what we've been doing, is plugging in the alignment. I mean, with the addition of Glenn Garlish, who's now our property manager and our maintenance guru, along with our sommelier. I mean, the guy is like a renaissance man.
Yes. The amount that Glenn knows about random things
is incredible.
Amazing.
He'll choke out guys at jiu-jitsu on a Thursday
yeah.
and then text you your wine pairing recommendation.
Yes.
That's how, I call him the most interesting man that I know.
I have loved I work probably the closest with Glenn as far as like the lifestyle maintenance piece goes. And just the amount of time that we've had to sit down and talk, I could probably listen to him talk for hours.
Well, he's traveled to like 37 countries.
Yes.
He's
always got a story, I bet, too.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Always got a story.
And he's a lot like I am, where we use our hands. Like
yes.
we're always, you know, moving
I never
around.
Noticed.
No, not at all. But I think when that piece finally clicked for us, what we ended up doing is it ended up sort of finishing the service cycle for us. And that service cycle is one that we take very seriously, because, yes, if you hire us to just design, you can absolutely do that mm-hmm. at the design coach. If you're like, hey, I want service A and B, I don't really need the rest of that. The problem with it is that's not really understanding the full breadth of services and the ways we can impact your life through creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're almost selling yourself short if that's all you want, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing now with the service offering is we're saying, no, Mike, if you had the means and you could make one phone call to design your home, deliver your dream home, help you, show you how to use it and leverage it, okay?
And then take care of it
with one phone call and not chase how many service providers it takes to run these large higher end luxury homes, mm-hmm. you'd be like, sign me up.
That's
like,
what people want.
I want one car.
Yeah.
Right.
We've created basically what is a luxury home ownership easy button. And it's in the form of this amazing team who are all coaches in their own right. And in many cases, better coaches than I am within their specialty. And so I coach down, they coach up, and then we coach out. Mm-hmm. And so it's always done in a spirit of like not telling, but like it's educational, it's informative, it's done with a sense of service. There's a weird mm-hmm. servant leader humility confidence game we play.
Yes.
Because like we're very confident in what we know works, but we also are humble enough to want to hear what the lifestyle aspirations are of each client.
Yeah.
And Mike, make no mistake about it, they're all different, which is also reflected in the design of the homes we do. None mm-hmm. of our homes really look the same, and they all have very unique attributes that are very tailored and custom to the client, which is very different than other interior design professionals who mm-hmm. have a particular style that they like to design in, and they're very accomplished, and they're
they're good at what they do.
They're very good at what they do. That's just not what we do.
Yeah.
What we do is we build personal stages on which our clients want to live their lives. And I say, your home is a stage. You are performing in it, whether you realize it or not. And you're doing it every day, and you're doing it in the most extravagant ways sometimes, and also sometimes in the most simplistic. Mm-hmm. And so the home needs to accommodate for all of that. And when I say what I love about the clients, I think with whom we have the pleasure of working, they do share them. Mm-hmm. It's not, they don't not invite family. And in fact, I have seen, and this is why I'm so passionate about it, is because I've seen the right design bring families together from all parts of the country mm-hmm. who maybe didn't want to maybe make the trip to our like, when are we coming back to the house?
Yes.
And they're scheduling it a year in mm-hmm. advance, and they're buying plane tickets. And so when I have sometimes older couples who are like, my kids are all over the country, we're trying to create a home that I want them to come back to that feels as much their home as ours, we take all of that into consideration, and we try to build an experience that connects people. Great interiors, great spaces, and great experiences should connect people. And so how do we do that through design? Well, we don't just do that through furniture. We don't just do that through new builds and remodeling. Mm-hmm. That's just the beginning of the journey. The rest of the journey at the design coach is then how do we help you leverage it and live it?
Yes.
Almost every day.
Yeah, just right? about. Yep.
And so we're redefining what it means to be a service provider, not just in the design space, but then also in the lifestyle mm-hmm. space.
Yep.
And then also in the home, in the maintenance of that lifestyle as it relates to also the maintenance of the home. Because mm-hmm. what we do find a pretty big disconnect. You know, when you build these really somewhat complex structures, I mean, they can be north of 10,000 square feet sometimes. You know, there's not always an understanding of what it takes to actually maintain clean a size home like that.
Especially when you're not there full time.
And so our staff has assembled a network of people who understand it, who understand mm-hmm. what we're trying to achieve on behalf of our clients, mm-hmm. and then the trust that's been placed in us to be able to deliver that service.
Yeah.
And that makes us a very unique service provider and really, I think, we're just a valuable life asset.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving it back to us in spades as well. There's a transactional. It's transactional. Don't get me wrong. It's not a free service, okay? But but I will say to you that it's what comes back to us in the appreciation mm-hmm. for the coaching and the teaching and the experiences that we create and for the peace of mind that you get for not having to maintain it. I mean, Mike, mm-hmm. you just started the show by saying you hate the chores. You get them done. If you had the ability to put those off and you could just live and you could just enjoy and you could just leverage what you've built, that's what we've done at the Design Coach. We'll talk about that and close the loop when we come back for the break. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Mike, you have a clarification you wanted to make on your man chores.
You said you hate the chores, but you get them done. I love the chores, minus one. Not a huge fan of the mowing of the lawn. Everything else, I love.
If I
could clean all day, I would.
Okay, listen, I'm not.
Am I weird
listen,
for saying that? Is that
no,
weird?
No, not at all. I do too because I think there's something therapeutic about it. Like I vacuum all the time. I have three lamps.
Same.
I partly have to, but at the same time,
I like seeing the lines. I just sit back and stare at the lines.
I don't have carpet.
Well, listen, good morning, everyone. We're in segment four of the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano.
You don't want carpet. Carpet sucks.
Yeah, you're
carpet
right.
sucks.
You're right.
Good.
It does. It sucks.
It's not
right.
It's not great.
Okay.
Hardwood with a rug underneath it, better. Natural material.
Perfect.
That's just my feeling.
I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
I was just thinking about this.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm always, when I lean back in my chair,
yeah.
That's why the wheels turn.
Yeah, when he gets quiet, I got him thinking.
I just wanted to know, at what point in your life did you realize this is what you wanted to do? Were you like 10?
Well, which part?
The design part. Like your interior designer. At what point did you say?
So I don't, have I ever told this story on air?
I don't know. I don't know that I know
this story.
So we moved to Highland Park, Illinois when I was 2 years old. And as we started to add to the family of five, I have three brothers and a sister. All four brothers slept in one room in the basement of our home in Highland Park. We had a finished lower level. Not when we moved in. When we moved in, it was unfinished, and we slept down there anyway.
Sounds kind of cool, actually.
And each brother had a corner, okay? Well, in my corner, because I was artistically inclined, I would build space shuttle models and I would build shrines around in my corner. So my corner of the room up against the wall would have like whatever my passion was at the time. And I was a Lego kid. I would make Legos and hang them from the ceiling with fish line in the drop ceiling. I would just stare up at them and I would just create these environments because I felt like I was crafting something I didn't have to share because I had to share the entire room. And it was my little sanctuary. I could just craft it. And honestly, to my parents' credit, they let me do it. Like, they let me tape stuff onto the walls, and they let me, like, to this day, I think one of the greatest gifts my parents ever gave me was to just let me create and didn't judge my creativity. You know, when I went to college, I went to art school. You know, my dad was a banker. He very easily could have said, no, son, that's not a profession. You need to, you know, listen, I hear this from a lot of artists that their parents were very upset that they went into something creative, whether it be music or whether it be art or whether it be whatever. They allowed me to chase that passion. The only requirement that he had was when I graduated, you know, listen, can you find a way to monetize it? And it wasn't about like for a family. It was just like, can you monetize it for yourself? Like, can you do something worthwhile with this that actually can provide for you? Because you're not living at home forever. Mm-hmm. And he said, remember, you know, when I told him that I was going to go into business for myself after having been in the corporate world for a while, selling artwork, selling advertising, which is actually where I met Glenn, this is 30 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. We sold Yellow Pages, if you can believe it. So it was like hardcore sales.
I do.
I was in my 20s. I didn't have any sales or business experience. And I met Julie and I decided that like literally like 3 months after like I had married Julie, like I remember this vividly and so does Julie. She tells the story. I went to my father-in-law and I was like, hey, I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to try to do this thing, right? Which is at the time like a, you know, decorative painting company on the high end. And that just blossomed. So when did I always knew that I wanted to make an impact with my creativity. That was never in doubt at my core at a very young age. The difference was when I felt like I could, when I felt like what I could create for people in their homes had an impact. And I remember the first job I ever got, I was in my green Jetta with a sunroof. And Julie and I, there was a ladder that was sticking out of the top of it because it's like we were doing decorative painting at the time and Julie was helping me on the weekends. And we sat in the front seat and I got my first check. And I think, I can't remember if it was like for $5,000 or $8,000. It was a deposit on this really big job. And we just sort of looked at each other and I said, I can do this. I think we can do this. Like, I think we can make a positive impact in someone's home with my labor and with my creativity. So it just started from my love of work and wanting to have work turn into something creative. And I just happened to use my art skills and talent.
It's a great story.
To do that.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah. And so what happened over the previous 25 years, because now 25 years, 2023, a life in creativity for me, has morphed into just clients requesting more ways to connect with the creative services that maybe I had envisioned or I could provide. Mm-hmm. So as it went from decorative painting to remodeling and from remodeling to full service interior design and then design build, now we're looking at this and we're like, okay, we've come full circle. And now it's what I loved is I love the perpetual nature of helping them understand, because I'm a contractor at my core, how to maintain something, how to decorate and design something. And then I love this new piece of like how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where Kylie comes in and a lot of our lifestyle partners, that if you go to the designcoach.com, you know, we mentioned Chris Rubicki, the chef that just came on with us a few weeks ago. And if you haven't signed on to our newsletter, you have to go to the designcoach.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that'll pop up will be the ability for us to sign up on the newsletter.
Yep.
This is a way for you to connect with our lifestyle partners and our company and this show, to be quite honest with you, to sort of understand exactly how we can impact your life through great design. And that's why we say we don't just want to design great interiors. We want you to design a great life.
Yeah.
And signing up for your newsletter.
Perfect. Sounds good.
You'll get a welcome letter from Kylie.
You will.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I feel like our newsletter also goes beyond that. Like, we have recommendations on different things. We talk about lifestyle. We talk about design. We feature a lifestyle partner every month, too, that I interview.
And you're always digging up articles that you think are going to be interesting for our newsletter crowd. And I think I think, Mike, that's when you ask me, like, how did I know that this is what I wanted to do? I just didn't. I think I just responded with my talents and tried to apply them to the marketplace based on the demand and the interest that I was finding. It was just a response to what I think people wanted. And I'm just fortunate that I had something that people want.
Yeah.
The difference now is it was very easy for me to make it all about me. Right? I was the one envisioning it. I was the one creating it. And I think that for a while, you kind of get in your own head as an entrepreneur to realize, oh, well, they want me. It's all about me. And a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck there. But what you realize is if you have a philosophy like we do at the Design Coach, which is, you know, creativity, comprehensiveness, and a concierge mindset. That's sort of our core values right there, the three C's as we call them.
Yep.
That permeates everything we do in maintenance, in lifestyle, and in design. Are our solutions creative, comprehensive, right, and concierge? And if they are, then they sort of meet the requirements for the standard that I think we've set for ourselves at the Design Coach to be able to deliver an elite service without an elite attitude.
Yes.
I mean, we're a super approachable team. You mentioned, like, we have a lot of fun. We take our job very seriously, but I don't think we take ourselves very seriously.
No.
You know, like, we're human. We're going to make.
And I feel like with our team, if we are taking ourselves too seriously, there's always someone to keep you in check about that, too. Not in a bad way.
No.
Again, it's with a heart.
Almost like a family.
Yeah.
Almost like a family would. So I think that, you know, the next 25 years for us, as it was outlined in the recent service launch of this perpetual service cycle, has been how do we now with this team, how do we now, and these great coaches, how do they find their own ways to connect? Like, Kylie, how do you find your own ways to connect that I wouldn't even thought of?
Mm-hmm.
And the newsletter has been a part of that.
Yeah. Well, it was so funny because you were like, what if we do this idea? And I have a background literally in editing, and I have a degree in English, so English communications. And so, like, he had brought up the idea of, like, releasing something quarterly. And I was like, well, what if we do it every month?
Yeah.
And what if, like, perfect. I'm in charge of it and I write it and then you approve it and we send it out? So that's kind of how that came about.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of people who want the ball, which I love. Like, I love that they want to take something and run with it. But I love that they want to run with it as, again, it's the same. It's the alignment with the clients that want to share their homes. My team just wants to share their knowledge and wants people to feel great about the interactions that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also willing to take feedback in that regard, which a lot of service providers aren't necessarily open to critique. Right. And, you know, in this new model that we've crafted, which, by the way, we haven't even gotten to the 9,000 square foot, you know, cathedral to lifestyle and design that we're building in Harvard, Illinois, which is going to be the embodiment of what we think this service cycle looks like. Mm-hmm. Clients are going to be able to come there for everything from great retail to educational and lifestyle experiences that Kylie's going to help us run. in partnership with Wolf Sub-Zero Cove.
I was telling Amber I'm working on perfecting my chocolate chip cookie recipe because I feel like as a mom, you just have to have a chocolate chip cookie recipe. So I was telling her the amount of times I'm going to be baking in our kitchen at work.
Yeah. Julie has me on this thing where I'm supposed to cook Wednesday dinners. I was like, I'm just going to fire them up in the...
I'm gonna fire them up in the showroom
and just walk them home.
Yeah, team afternoon. Someone cooks every Wednesday, and then Phil brings the leftovers.
It's like I think with the I'm 55 this past February. I feel like our best design, our best service offering, is still ahead of us. Whereas there's a lot of people my age looking to, with one eye on landing the plane, so to speak. I'm just going to keep raising the altitude with where my plane is, right? And so I think that's very – it's cool for me because I feel like I'm invigorated from a perspective of there's a whole new world of possibilities that are just beyond picking the next sink, picking the next sofa, picking the next fabric. And all of those things are fun to do. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love doing all those things.
Yes.
But I also understand that that's just the beginning of the journey. And why, as a design firm, why does it have to stop at the final drapery pin or accessories placement in a home? Why can't it just keep going?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we landed.
Yeah. Back to your one call thing. Why do you have to have so many different people to do so many different things?
Well, and listen, as the world gets a little weirder, and as the profiles of service providers out there gets, I don't know, very difficult to tell who's good, who's not, and who's good at what they do, and how frustrating it can be to have, let's just say, ebbs and flows in service.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to connect with a team that understands what you're trying to achieve, the way you want to live, and not only what it took to get there. I mean, the investments in time, energy, and effort, and finances that it takes to do some of the projects that we do deserves a level of service respect on the back end and in the maintenance of the lifestyle and the home that maybe some service providers just aren't capable of delivering because they don't know what it took to get there. Mm. We know the level of energy and investment that our clients put into these homes.
Yeah.
And we know what it means to them. We know it's extremely personal. So if you want to know more about what we do and you want to know about our new service cycle, it's up on our site. Go to thedesigncoach.com. Check it out under services. Kylie, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been coached.